Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Man, I am so honored and excited that you are here today as we are continuing our series entitled His Promise, My Part. His Promise, My Part. And really what this series is it's really what you would call a vision series, maybe even more specifically what we could call an envision series, because what we are attempting to do in these weeks is to allow you to envision what your 2022 could look like, what it could look like for you personally, what it could look like in your home, what it could look like in our community. And as we move through this series, you know, we're talking about the promises of God. And how many of you know that as Jesus followers, it's important for us to know that God has great promises for our lives? All right, that was fantastic. About 20% of the room. We're going to give grace for the other 80%. We're going to give you a second chance right now to get an agreement with those awesome promises that God has. How many of you know it's important that we need to know that God has great promises for us? Amen. Amen. That's right. God has great promises for each and every one of us. And as we move through the series, we're going to be looking, we are looking at the story of Joshua and how God's people in the Old Testament, they moved into the promised land. But we're doing this in parallel, not just with the story of Joshua, but also with the story of Jesus. That in the Old Testament, they moved into the promised land, but the story of Jesus is about us moving into a promised life. It's a promised life. It's a life that Jesus has promised us. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, I came so that everyone, say everyone. Everyone. Let you know that nobody's excluded from this. There's no asterisk. You don't have to get a seminary degree. You don't have to sign up to be a missionary in another continent. No, this is for everyone, everyone that would call upon the name of the Lord, put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. He says, I came so that everyone would have life. And not just life, but that everyone would have it to the fullest. Now here's the thing that Jesus uses a Greek word there for life that's called zoe. And zoe means life in its entirety. It's talking about spirit, soul, and body. It's talking about present and future. So when Jesus says, I came to give you life, he's not saying, I just came to give you a little bit better spiritual life. No, he's saying, I came to give you life in its fullest. I came to give you a complete life, spirit, soul, and body, present and future. I came so that life would be better than you ever dreamed it could be. And what we call this is we call this the abundant life. Jesus came so that we could live an abundant life, and it's a promise. And guess what? There's good news. If it's a promise, then you can have it. If it's a promise, that means that you can live it. We can live the abundant life. Come on, tell your neighbor sitting on your left and your right, tell them we can have it. Come on, just tell them right up front, we can have it. Look them into the eye. I mean, stare deep into their soul and say, we can have it. We can have it. And it's important that we say we. Why? Because this is what I found in church. It's easy to say you. You can have it. I believe the promises of God for you, but I know me too well. I know my struggles and my challenges, and I know all the things that I've done wrong. I know too much. So I believe you can have the promises, but that's why I didn't say turn to your neighbor and say you can have it. I said turn to your neighbor and say we can have it. It means I can have these promises. I can live the abundant life as well. But we know this, is that we always play a part. We always play a part in God's promises coming to pass on the earth. And that's why we're looking at the story of Joshua. But before we get into the story of Joshua, I want to go to kind of to our foundational scripture as we move through this series. And it's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter is a disciple of Jesus. He's in the not just one of the 12, but he's actually one of the closest three to Jesus with James and John. And this is what he writes. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Say everything. Everything. So everyone has everything. Everyone who believes in him and has put their faith in him has everything we need for living the life that God created us to live. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory, who he is, and because of his excellence, what he does, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. And these are also the promises that enable you to escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. In view of these great promises, make every effort to respond to these promises that God has given us. I would say it to you this way this morning. The promises of God lead us to what is possible with God. The promises of God is what lead us into everything that is possible with God. You see, we have to be aware of the promises so that we can access the possibilities. We have to be aware of what God has promised. We have to be aware of the abundant life. We have to be aware of the fact that Jesus said, I don't give you peace like the world can give you. I'm giving you my peace, which is divine and supernatural. He said, that's what I want you to have. So we have to be aware of the promises of God. We have to be aware of eternal life. We have to be aware of abundant life. We have to be aware. Why do we need to be aware of the promises? So we can access the possibilities. Because our possibilities lie within the promises. So you need to know what God has promised you so you will know what is possible in your life. See, whenever we start seeing what's possible that come from the promises, when God has promised these things, now I start seeing that it's possible, that's when I start to make every effort. That's when I start to go, man, that's the life that I want to live. That's when I realize, oh, man, okay, that's the promises of God, but I play a part in the promise. So what part do I play? My part that I play is I've got to make every effort to see what God promised me come to pass in my life. That's the part that we play. And so as we move through this, we see that God makes promises to Joshua. But then Joshua had a part to play. Now, let me just give you a 60-second recap of kind of where we are in the Old Testament, kind of what is the storyline leading up to today. And basically, the storyline is that for 400 years, God's people, the Israelites, they have been enslaved in Egypt. There's a guy by the name of Moses that goes and talks to the leader of Egypt. And through a series of events, now Moses is leading God's people out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. You've ever seen the Prince of Egypt? You know, the water parts, right? And God's people go across, walk across on dry ground right through the middle of the Red Sea. It's a miracle moment. And now they find themselves on the doorstep of destiny. The place that God had promised them is right there in front of them. The place called Canaan. It's a land that was fruitful and fertile. It's a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was God's promised place for his people, and although they were right there on the doorstep, they don't get to access it because Moses sent 12 spies into the land. 10 spies come back, and they come back with a bad report. Man, there's giants in the land, walled cities. We can't do it. And that bad report spread fear all throughout the camp. But then there was Joshua and Caleb, two guys that came back and said, we can. We can conquer the land. Let's go at once. But nobody was listening to them. They were overshadowed by the 10 spies who brought back the bad report. The bad report spread throughout the whole camp. And so Joshua and Caleb, not only were they the only spies that got to enter the promised land 40 years later, they were the only people over 20 years old that got to enter the promised land. A whole generation of people died in the wilderness, 40 years. And we pick up the story after 40 years have passed. And if you want to go back and listen, we've talked through these things the last few weeks, and you can find those sermons on podcasts or on YouTube. But today we find ourselves where it's at the end of the 40 years. And God's people are getting ready to move. They're getting ready to move. They're getting ready to take action. But I want to remind you what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, because we haven't even really got to any action steps. We're weeks into the series, and all we've been talking about is attitude. All we've been talking about is attitude, the attitude of Caleb and the attitude of Joshua and the importance of attitude before we take any action. Now we're moving into the story, into Joshua chapter 1. And I was fully prepared today. I was fully prepared. Man, we're going to get some action steps today. That's where I thought we were going. I thought, man, we had already talked enough about attitude. And then when I started reading the story again this week, my attention was drawn right back to, you know what? When God started with Joshua, where did God start? Attitude. I said, okay, God, I get the picture. Our attitude's not where it needs to be yet. So right here in Joshua chapter 1, this is where we're picking up the story there. Just about ready to move in. And Joshua 1, this is what the scripture says. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River and into the land I am giving them. I promise you. Say promise. Promise. There it is. I promise you. So promise from God, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness and south, and the Euphrates River, and in the land of the Hittites. You don't know where any of that is anyway. You don't know the 50 states in the United States of America. So here's number five, verse five, okay? No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Come on, this is what we're talking about, his promise. His promise says, I'm giving you the land. Wherever your foot sets, you're on land that belongs to you because I gave it to you. And not only that, I am with you. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you, and there is not a soul that will be able to stand up against you because I am going to be with you. But watch what comes next. There is the promise in the first five verses. But now God begins to speak to Joshua about his part. He says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we got the promise. God says, you're moving into the land. It's land that I've given you. I'm with you. You're not going to fail. I'm not going to abandon you. He says, but this is your part. And here, just like last week, we see a template. We see a pattern for possessing what God has promised us. We see a pattern for moving into what God has for. We see a pattern for the abundant life. Let's take a look, a quick look at what is this template. It starts with fill your mind with the right things. He says, study the book of instruction. Get God's word and God's ways into your mind. And then he says, meditate on those things. So don't just read it. Don't just read it. You got to meditate on it. You got to think deeply about it. Then he goes to the next thing and he says, follow God's instruction. Follow God's instruction. So your intake of the information and your thinking about the information should now lead you to this place where now you're going to follow this instruction. And then he finishes with this, be strong and courageous. So we see this template that God is giving to Joshua so that he can move in to his promised land so that he can lead the people into what he has for them. Now, if we just take that template right now and we break it down and we say, okay, what are these four things? These four things are a lot of things that we even talked about last week. The first thing that we see there in filling your mind with the right things, that's about information. Look, there's a lot of information that exists within our world. Not all of that information is going to help you. Not all of that information is going to be beneficial to you. There are a lot of things that are pulling for your attention. There's a lot of things that are knocking on your door. There's a lot of big flashy things out there that are trying to grab your focus. But we must make a decision to say, you know what? I've got to make sure I'm getting the right information in my mind. I've got to fill my mind with the word and the will and the ways of God. It's information. Now, whenever you get into the meditate on those things, that's where revelation comes in. That's where we start asking ourselves, okay, what does this information, as we talked about last week, what does this mean to me? This is when I give deep thought to what I just read. I don't just read a few verses of the Bible, check a box, and then move on with my day. That doesn't do me the good that it's supposed to do me because I'm supposed to meditate on these things. That's why God tells Joshua, study the book, read the book, study the book, meditate on what you read. That's where you find your revelation. Then when you get into following God's instruction, what is that? That's about your direction. When you start actually walking out what God said to walk out, you begin to live in obedience to what he said. And then he says, be strong and courageous. What's that about? That's about your determination. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. That's about your determination. And then God says this, only then, will you prosper and succeed? Hey, I got a promise for you. That land over there, it's your land. When your foot hits it, it belongs to you. I'm with you. I'm not going to fail you. No enemy's going to be able to stand up against you. Oh, but if you want to succeed and flourish and thrive in what I'm telling you, then you got to follow the template. You got to fill your mind. You got to meditate on the right things. You got to follow those instructions. And then you have to be strong and courageous. Only then will you prosper. So these last few weeks, we've been talking about attitude. And just real quickly, that definition of attitude, if you haven't jotted it down, you can write it down right now. It's our settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. That's your attitude. It's your settled way of thinking or feeling about someone. It could be yourself. It could be God. It could be your mom. It could be your father-in-law. You got a settled way of thinking about someone. And you also have a settled way of thinking and feeling about something. Could be your past, your present, your future, your challenges, your possibilities. You've got a settled way of thinking about all of these things. And typically, these settled ways, they are reflected in our behavior. So moving into what God says is possible, it's always going to take the right attitude. It's always going to take the right attitude. And if you're going to hold on to that attitude, what's it going to take? Determination. It's almost like God was stressing this to Joshua three times in three verses. God says, be strong and courageous. And he comes back again, be strong and very courageous. Then he comes back a third time like Joshua was hard of hearing, okay? And he says, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Instead, be strong and courageous. Let me say it to you this way today. Before God gives Joshua an action step, he gives him attitude prep. Before he gives him an action step, he gives him attitude prep. Now, what you could do right here is you could just scratch off Joshua's name and you could say, before God gives Susan an action step, he gives her attitude prep. Before God gives Philip an action step, he gives him attitude prep. Before God gives the action step, he gives attitude prep. Now, let's just summarize the story. Here God says, hey, Joshua, hey, you're my guy, man. I have chosen you to take these people. You're my choice. You're my pick. I am going to be with you. Now listen, Joshua, I want you to study the scriptures. I want you to remember what Moses taught you. I want you to meditate on those things day and night. I want you to follow those instructions so carefully because I want you to succeed and prosper in everything you do. And now don't forget, Joshua, you're my guy. but you got to be strong and courageous on this journey. Now, once again, we kind of know the end of the story. If you've been in church, like, you kind of know how this ends. But just think about this moment right here. Joshua has been a slave in Egypt. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. His mentor and friend, the leader of Israel, Moses, has just died. Now God says, I'm choosing you for the mission and the task at hand. You're going to lead these people. Now think about this. He's about to lead a large group of people across a river into a place that they've never been and against people that are stronger than them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm Joshua, I want plans. I'm like, God, enough about this attitude thing. I have studied the scriptures. I have meditated on them for 40 years in the wilderness because I've had nothing else to do out here. Okay, like I've had enough about this attitude. I'm about to lead a couple million people across a river. That's enough in itself. But when we get across that river, there's going to be giants and walled cities. God, I want a plan. I want a plan, but God was talking about a posture. I want methods, but God's more interested in my mindset. I want a schedule, but God is focused on my stance. You see, Caleb's template from last week and Joshua's template from this week, they speak to the same truth, that attitude is everything. They speak to the same truth. Caleb gave us the template of how do you maintain your attitude when you're in the wilderness and move into the abundance that God has for you. Joshua, how do you move a group of people across the river into this? How do you do it? Attitude is everything. Here's the truth. God can give us all precise action steps, but if we don't have the right attitude, those steps won't matter. So whenever God starts talking to Joshua, he starts talking to Joshua about his attitude. He says, hey, you're my guy, but let's get something straight. It ain't about the action steps. It's about your attitude. It's not about the plan. I'll take care of that. It's about your posture. It's not about the method. You, Joshua, you just leave that up to me. It's all about your mindset. Joshua, don't worry about the schedule of when things are going to happen and how things are going to happen. It's not about the schedule, Joshua. It's about the stance that you take, your mental and emotional position that you have adopted to something. You see, if our attitude isn't right, this is what we get stuck saying. This doesn't make any sense. If our attitude's not right, we get stuck saying things like, well, why would we do that? Surely that's not going to work. And we say attitude is everything because it's the key to receiving everything. Attitude is everything because it's the key to receiving everything. Now listen, what I am not saying right now, don't you walk out of this place and say, well, Pastor Phillips said attitude is the only thing that matters. That's not what I'm telling you. Attitude is everything. It's not the only thing. Because in this story, somebody had to move. What we're about to hear is people had to get up out of their positions and they had to begin to advance. They had to begin to move forward. So don't you walk out here and say, oh, Pastor Phillips said attitude is the only thing that matters. No, it is everything. Because it's the key to you getting everything, because if you don't have the right attitude, then the action steps, it don't matter. You ain't going to do it. That's stupid. I ain't moving. We don't even know where we're going. We don't have a good plan. What's our contingency plan? What's plan B if plan A don't work? I'm not going anywhere. No, attitude is everything because your future, it hinges on attitude. Everything, whether the door opens or not, it hinges on attitude. And that's exactly what we see in the scripture, because what God is about to instruct Joshua to do is going to take radical faith and a we can attitude. I mean, now don't even think we're going to flash forward into next week. We're going to be talking about Jericho. You're going to march around. You're going to blow a horn. You're going to give a shout and walls are going to come down. Are you kidding me? That's the dumbest plan I've ever heard in my life. That's for next week, though. This is enough for this week. Joshua 3. Now we're getting into the moment, and this is verse 2. It says, 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp at the command of Joshua, and they gave these instructions to the people. They say, hey, whenever you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was like a box thing. It represented the presence of God. It was the presence of God on the earth at this time. And it had all kinds of stuff in it. And it was what they took into battle. And God was with them. It was the sign that God's presence is there. And it's like, hey, whenever the Levitical priest, they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, you want to move out from your positions and just follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, since you are going to a place you have never been, they are going to guide you. The action steps were so simple. He says, hey, my presence is going to go on the shoulders of my priests, and then just tell the people, just kind of like, just fall in line behind them. That's it? I'm moving a couple million people through a river and going into a land where there's enemy, and just ark on the shoulders of the priest, and hey guys, we're just gonna, hey, just kind of fall in line back here. Hey, okay, good. Action step was so simple. The priest would carry the presence of God, and God was going before them to lead them into everything that was going to be theirs. This is attitude. This is faith. Now let's get into that. Now let's see what actually happens a few verses later, verse 15. It says, it was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. This river that they have to cross, it wasn't always overflowing its banks, but this was flood season. This is why attitude has to come first, because if attitude didn't come first, come on, don't you know somebody be saying, this is not the time. We should go in the drought season, in the dry season, when the Jordan River is not so big and over. This is not the time. The Jordan River is overflowing its banks. That's why God has only been talking about attitude. Because God said, if you're going to go where I want to take you, you got to believe, even when the Jordan is overflowing its banks, we can do it. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Now notice, the priest didn't just get close to the water. The priest didn't speak to the water. The priest didn't carry the presence and lift the ark above the water. No, it said nothing happened until the priest's feet got in the water. But notice, the Red Sea, it parted. I don't know what that looked like, but that sounded good right there. The Red Sea parted right in front of them, and they walked through with walls of water on both sides. That's not what happened here. What happened here is their feet went in the water, and God stopped the flow miles back. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but you stop the flow of the river miles back, there's still a lot of water that's got to come on down. God stopped the flow miles back there, but it didn't drop immediately. It said all of the water from the point where God stopped it on down flowed all the way into the Dead Sea. So that means whenever they stepped their feet into the water, it wasn't the Red Sea moment. You know, and the water goes back. You're like, wow, look at what God did. No, they stepped in and they didn't even know. They stepped in. I mean, you go do your own research. It's like 20 miles back. Think how far that is. 20 miles when the priest's feet went in the water. Priest's feet stepped into the water, and there was no Red Sea parting. God stopped the water all back there, and the water is still moving. You see, sometimes whenever God begins to talk to you about moving, it's not about the action steps that you take. It's about the attitude that you have. Because as you get closer, watch, they're getting closer and nothing is happening. I mean, you're okay if you're like back here, you know what I'm saying? Like you're just like, you just in there. But what? Hey, you're the priest and you're going first. And you're like, whoo, God's about to part. Oh, I heard about that Red Sea. Oh, it's going to happen, you know? And you're like, okay, now God. Whoo, now God. Okay, it's going to split right now. Hey, come on. I mean, they're talking to the water. They're like, oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. I mean, they're walking all the way. And not until their feet get in does God do something. They haven't seen anything happen. They're moving, but they don't see God moving. God said, go, and go with the right attitude, because your feet are going to get in some uncomfortable places. And you're not going to know what's really happening, because it's not going to go the way you thought it was. Because, come on, how many of you know, like, once they heard the story of the Red Sea, just that, now, it's naturally what you do, right? You think it's going to happen like that. That's how God did it back there. That's how God's going to do it here. I saw what happened, right? Moses, we know the story. Moses lifted the side, you know, so they kind of like pumping the ark up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Oh, we're going to kind of get the same thing going. Nothing's happening. Their feet get in the water. God's saying, hey, if you're going to walk where I want you to walk, I'm going to give you some action steps along the way. But if your attitude ain't right, you'll get up to the edge and go, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. He's got a promise. He's got a promise. The promise is there. The abundant life is available. The peace and the joy and everything that Jesus makes available is for you. But what you're going to have to do is put your feet into the water and trust that whenever God says go, he's actually going to show up in the midst of it. So there they are. There they are, stepping into the river. Now you just can't miss this. This is what I just love about God. It says that they stepped into the river. Where did they cross over? It said they crossed over near the town of Jericho. I love these little details. They crossed over near the town of Jericho. Now here's what we know. Right before, we just read this in Joshua chapter 3. In Joshua chapter 2, Joshua sends two spies into Jericho because he knew this is where they were going to cross. So he sends two spies to spy out Jericho, okay? Now, and let's just recognize Joshua learned his lesson. You don't send 12, you just send two, okay? I say, so he says, we're just going to send two. So he sends two spies into Jericho, and the two spies come back, and they talked to a lady in Jericho, and this is what the lady told them. They said, the Lord has given you the whole land, for all the people here are terrified of you. She said, we heard about what happened at the Red Sea, and we heard about how you defeated those enemies in the wilderness who attacked you. This whole land is terrified that you are coming. Now, that's what they heard. But don't you know that Jericho had some scouts out with God's people camped right on the other side of the river? Don't you know that somebody, they heard about what God had done, but now somebody got to see it for themselves. And the river that had always flowed right there next to Jericho was all of a sudden stopped up. Somebody saw it and brought this report. Now listen, if they were afraid before, now they're going full on panic attack. Yes. I mean, now it's like we heard about what he could do, but now we've seen the God that is with them. We've seen the God that is with them. You know, we sang it a minute ago, the God of breakthrough is on your side. The God of breakthrough is on your side. Come on, if you think, listen. If you think you're stepping into some scary situations, how scared do you think the enemy is knowing that the God of breakthrough is on your side? You're stepping into the white, you think, oh, this is scary, but come on, the enemy is so scared because he has already seen what God has done. He knows the God of breakthrough is on your side. He can't stop you. That's why we've been saying this entire series that God's promises make things possible, but you make God's promises unstoppable. God's promise makes it possible, but you are what makes the promise of God unstoppable. When your feet get in the Jordan River, and your feet are only in the Jordan River when you have your attitude where it needs to be, and you say, God, I don't see you moving right now, but you told me to go, and my feet are in the river, and I fully expect you to do what you promised me you would do, and that is to give me that land. I don't know if I'm gonna start walking on top of this water. I don't know if this water is going to split. I don't know if God's going to stop it way back up there and let it flow on out. And the more we keep walking, the less it keeps getting. And the next thing we know, it's all dry. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. The attitude of faith. The attitude of faith. It came from what they believed was possible with God. And what they believed was possible with God came from the promises of God. They believed it was possible. That land was going to be their land. And you have to believe that it's possible, that the life that Jesus promised you, you can possess on this earth. That you can live a life that is free, free from addiction, free from bitterness, free from unforgiveness and resentment, free. You have to believe that you can live a life that is full and a life that is overflowing with joy and peace and purpose and power. You have to believe what Peter wrote. And he said, it's by his divine power. God's given you everything you need for living the life that he created you for. And hear me clearly, the life that he created you for is not average and ordinary. It is super and it is extraordinary. And he said, this is my promise to you. Oh, but you have a part to play in the promise. God made it possible, something you could have never done for yourself on your own. God made it possible. But you make his promises unstoppable. When you begin to believe what's possible with God, they come from the promises of God. And you begin to get your attitude right. I mean, the action steps were very simple. How many of you know we try to put so much attention on the action steps? Well, what do I do? How do I do it? When do I do it? What's it gonna look like? When? Yeah, all the action steps. It was so simple. Tell the priest, pick up the ark, start walking. Tell all the other people, get behind them about half a mile or so, roughly, approximately. Just tell them to get in where they fit in, you know, just start moving. The action steps were so simple, but the attitude was so powerful. And as I continue on with the story, as I continue to read, and even next week, we're going to see more. Like, I keep trying to get away from attitude to get into some action steps to tell you to take, and I can't get into the action steps. And I just kept feeling the Holy Spirit bringing me back to this point that for you in 2022, attitude is everything. The action steps are going to be so simple They're going to be so simple. They're not even going to sound like spiritual. They're not even going to sound like life-changing. They're just so simple. But attitude is everything. Because when you start moving into the simple, you're like, well, surely it's not going to work. Surely God would want to do more. Like, surely, like, this is not complex enough. This is not complicated enough. This is not thorough enough. Surely this can't be the plan. Surely we're missing something here. Attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. And as we move into 2022, you know, here as a community, for the last several years, we've done something that we call a 40-day finish. And I've been doing this for like the last 8 years personally. And what it's about, it's about bringing intentionality and focus into the last 40 days of the year. In a time and a season that's full of distractions, that's full of potential excuses, the last 40 days of the year, I mean, you get the holidays in there, you got family, you got company events, you got all these things, and you got so many great reasons to make so many excuses. And this is what we do. By the time you get to like December 10th, where you start saying, oh, I'll do it next year. Like, I'll just wait 3 weeks, right? The 40-day finish is all about putting yourself in position for the next year. Because if you want to start fast, you got to finish strong. This is the way I see it. I see the 40-day finish as like the exchange lane in a relay race. That 2021 is coming into the exchange lane and 2022 is starting to run. Now, neither runner in the exchange lane are running at top speed, but there's movement. There's movement so that when that next runner gets that baton, when 2022 gets that baton, it can accelerate faster because it's already moving. So many people come into the year and they just take the last 40 days and it's Thanksgiving and it's Christmas and it's holidays and it's lattes and it's everything else. And they just come into the new year stagnant. And they're like, oh, new year, new me. No, you've been eating Cheetos and like sitting on the couch. Like, no. So the last 40 days are about movement. Listen, I'm not trying to change the world in the last 40 days. It is the holidays. It is family time. There are more things going on in your life. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm not trying to make up for all the things I didn't do in 2021 and cram them into the last 40 days so I can feel like I had a good year. No. That's not it. I'm trying to create movement that's going to build momentum into my next year because I don't want to start from a dead stop. And then as I was putting in context of the series, I started thinking, huh, God's trying to get us into an attitude for 2022. It's not about the action steps, it's about the attitude. It's about your way of thinking and feeling about someone or something. It's about your way of thinking. It's about your way of feeling. That's what it's about. So when I started thinking about the 40-day finish, and in the 40-day finish, basically what we do is we have four goals for our 40 days. Four goals. Goals that they stretch you, not stress you, okay? We're not trying to change the world in 40 days, not trying to make up for lost time. No, just four goals that stretch you, but they don't stress you. They just create movement. So for me, I'm going to go to the gym 21 times in 40 days. I'm going to read 3 books. And if you've been around here, you're like, oh, Phil, those numbers seem a little bit lower than they have been in the past. They are, because I got more kids now. Kids go up, my goals go down. But it's about movement. It's about movement. I'm just moving. I know what I need to do so that when I hit 2022, I'm already moving and I can accelerate to my top speed faster. Because I want to start fasting. And so what I feel like God is saying is, hey, as a community, take the next 40 days and do what you need to do. It starts tomorrow. Take the next 40 days and do what you need to do to get your attitude in the place it needs to be so that you can start moving into everything that God has for you, for your family, and for our community in 2022. Just get that attitude right. Get that attitude right. Do whatever it takes to get your attitude in the place where you say, God, I'm ready for the action steps. I don't need to know what is right now because I'm with you. I believe we can. I don't even know what it's going to look like. God, I don't even know what you're asking me to do. But God, I believe that we can. 40 days to get our settled way of thinking and feeling right so that we can move into everything that God has for us. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to throw the lead up there. I know, realize we have gone over it. Just put it all up there. Put it up there because people like take pictures of it every week and want to save it, but look, what did we learn? We learned this. God starts with attitude prep before he steers us with an action step. God's going to start with your attitude prep. Before he gives you an action step, he's going to start with your attitude prep. Is my attitude, my way of thinking and feeling, in alignment with his promises and possibilities? Am I in alignment with we can, or am I in alignment with we can? Follow the template. Information, get the right thing in my mind. Revelation, give some deep thought to it, meditate on it. Let that create some direction in your life. And finally, be strong and courageous. Have some determination that whatever is in front of you is not going to stop you from what God has in store for you. And the D's always the same. Just do it again. Just do it again. We are moving into 2022. And as a community, we're moving in with the right attitude.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.